Today's scripture comes from James 4, 1 through 12. It says, submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Well, you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Amen.
It's not my fault. If we always find someone else we can blame for all the troubles that we struggle with, can't we? Whether it be internally in our own lives, in our own hearts, whether it be in our relationships at home or at work or in school, whether it be in the world around us, there's things always seemingly constantly out of place, and we can always point the blame to somebody else. It is not my fault. And at the same time that we do that, we are always yearning for something better, don't we? We all want for something better than where we are at, for where what's going on around us. We yearn for better relationships, yet our relationships seem to be in conflict. We want for a closer connection with God, but yet it feels like God has moved away from us. You know, we struggle. We want to have a place where we feel a sense of safety and being seen and known for who we are in a place of a community or in a church family. And yet we often find that we are fearful of those around us. We hide sometimes because we don't want to expose ourselves. We wear masks sometimes because we don't want others to see the real us for fear that they would reject the real us. We haggle and fight for various places in the world and the order around us, and we struggle because there always seems to be a conflict wherever we go. And we like to say, it's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Have you ever noticed that? I'm angry, it's because of those other people. You know, it's whether it be the idiots on the road. Have you seen how full the roads is with idiots? My gosh. You know, or those crazies on the other side of the political aisle. It's their fault. You know? Or if we feel like our spiritual life is in a place of malaise, we say, well, God, where did you go? I'm not even talking about husbands and wives. I better not go there. Because you know what I say? It's not my fault. That's right. That's what I say. And you know what? I'm probably wrong 99% of the time, but I still say it. There's something in us that wants to always shift that blame to say, it's not my fault. And yet, for all those places where our life feels out of place, this chapter, chapter 4, here in the book of James, begins to draw our attention to where the fault lies and what to do about it. See, the problem is often with fault finding is that fault finding doesn't give us an option forward. It simply levels blame, and at that leveling of blame, then it's just kind of cast in stone. That's the problem, you're the wrong thing, and it just leaves it there. But James is going to open up a different door here for us. Yeah, there may be an issue that needs to be solved, but it can be solved. And that's the beauty of God's word for us and his word for us today as we open up James chapter 4. Appreciate Devin reading that for us today. He opens up this whole chapter, kind of opens up this idea that when we feel out of balance within ourselves and with others and with God himself, when we feel out of balance, there's a reason for that. You know, we find that we're living in frustration, you know, with all these hopes and dreams that have been shattered and expectations that never quite were fulfilled, and they just are kind of scattered all around us. We find ourselves living in constant conflict, maybe with God not coming through for us. And so we get upset with God because he's not doing for us what we kind of hoped or thought he ought to. You know, we find it far easier, and this is the tail end of that part, we find it far easier to judge those around us when they're not doing what we think they ought to be doing than it is to love them when we think they are misbehaving. And yet, he says that's exactly the opposite of what we as followers of Jesus have been invited to. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves, even when they're wrong. We are to love our enemy, even when they make us angry. There is something in us that says, no, I would rather judge that person because I know they're the one who's wrong. It's not my fault. Okay, so let's take a look real quick here at James 4, because this is going to, I'm going to suggest to you again, he says this is what goes on here for us, but it's not a dead end. There's going to be a place and a hope for us to begin to reorder our lives in a way that honors God more and brings fulfillment to us. And so that's what we're going to be after here today. First thing it says is, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Well, no, they don't. They come from all those idiots around me. Isn't that what we say? But James says, no, you better take a mirror and look inside. This is where the action starts. This is how it begins for us. Why are we constantly feeling like we're on edge? Because we're always struggling with what we don't have or what somebody else has. Or there's a sense of I want this place, or I want to be heard as right. I want whatever it is, this sense of I've got to carve out my place, get what I want, be seen for who I think I should be seen as. And we tend to let that get us angry. It goes on and talks about how that gets in our way, but it also goes on to talk about not only that, but we do not have because we do not ask God. That we are, not only do we tend to be blame shifting, but we also tend to want to be self-reliant and independent. And that's a good thing to have when not being a dependent on somebody else. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to recognize that we are not the ones who are in charge. You do not have because you do not ask. Darn. Or when you ask, you don't get it because you're asking with wrong motives. Darn. James, I wish he would give us a little more slack. Don't you? I wish you'd like to give us like, well, maybe you're not doing it quite A-plus work, but you're getting a C. You're doing okay. No, he says, you're missing the point. When we seek to try to be independent from God, or when we put our priorities ahead of God's priorities and expect God's going to give us what we want because we want it, we find we're going to be setting ourselves up for frustration. And that, too, is part of the same conflict that comes from within. Same conflict of what it means to be a human being and wrestle with the selfishness that we all have. You know, there's something, and I found it interesting, I've been doing some reading on this, that in the world we live in, and this is not new to us, although it seems to be getting exaggerated now with the advent of social media and all the various polarizing pulls that we have in our life around us. And this is something called empathy gaps. He says that all of us are beginning to suffer with what is called empathy gaps. It comes when we find ourselves getting kind of forced into groups. We are by nature tribal. We do. We tend to, you know, birds of a feather like to flock together. And so we tend to do that, but because of all the other influences on us, we form these in-groups and out-groups. And if you're part of the in-group, it's cool. But if you're part of the out-group, there's really no place for you. We get to this place, and especially in our hyper-partisan world, we get to this place where it's really even impossible because of these empathy gaps to begin to understand where the other person is coming from. And so we fall into this, well, they must believe that because they're stupid. And I don't mean that as a joke. I watch TV all the time, and I'm saying, are they stupid? Are they living in another world? That's not how it is. Or we fall into the next trap, and again, this is that judgment trap, where we begin to say, oh, they're not stupid. They're evil. Anyone go there? Oh, no, good, I'm so glad. I do. I say, this is the problem with our world. It's people like this who are doing all these things. And it's a struggle for us because we get into this place where these empathy gaps begin to just crowd us out. But it's a comfort zone. It's a protection. It's a way of protecting ourselves. And it comes and it works this way, whether we're watching the news or whether we're dealing with our neighbor. No, James says that we fuss and we're in conflict because we're selfish. James says that we fuss and we're in conflict because we're out of step with God. James says that we fuss and we're in conflict because we listen to the enemy. And because of that, he says, there is only one solution. There's only one solution for us. And so this is our path to move forward. We're going to look at this next section here in James 4. There are going to be two things he tells us to do, and they're kind of similar, they're kind of related. But this becomes the heart for what we have this week. Okay. It begins with this. In verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, and he shows favor to the humble. So he's going to give us a choice here. We can take one of two paths, folks. Either we're going to pridefully say, I'm not wrong, I'm always right. God has moved away from me. For whatever reason he did, I don't know what his problem is, but he has moved away from me. I don't ask right, or I don't ask at all, or I can choose to be humble. I can choose to submit myself before him. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, he says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So what is it we are invited to? Faced by conflict all around, faced by frustration all around, faced by all this sense of unfulfillment all around, what is the invitation? Someone say it for me. To submit. Oh! There's got to be something else. Can't we do it another way? Come on, really? Submission? How many of you like that word, submission? How many of you, okay, good. How many of you have used that word this week? I need to submit more. Fabulous. This is good. The rest of us, we're in trouble. It's become almost a dirty word, submission. It runs against all of our grain, doesn't it? We are told to, you know, you can be anything you want. Just go and grab it. Go take it. Go do it. Just do it. And we're saying, but this says, no, we are called to submission. We are called to submit ourselves to God, to begin to open ourselves to his way of thinking, not my own way of thinking. To resist the devil, to not always listen to what the devil has to say and what he wants to kind of mess around with in us. To invite us to say, I'm going to resist him, and if I do, he will flee from me. Submission. It's a hard word. It involves too much trust. If I'm going to submit, I need to be able to trust that person completely. I don't know if I can do that. It involves too little control. Don't we all want to have control? To say I'm going to submit means I'm going to give up that need to be in control. It feels too weak, like I'm somehow being sub what I could be because I'm giving up what I could be. Gosh, it sounds like Eve in the garden and the enemy. You know, if you do this, you will be like God. You won't need God. And we play that. The enemy uses that on us all the time. But James says, as followers of Jesus, we are called to submit ourselves, to put ourselves under his care, but also under his authority. That what he says about us is true, but what he says for us is true also. We are invited to let him be the strong one in this relationship. That I don't have to have my way. I can allow him to be in control, even when my life feels out of control. Isn't that when we want control back the most? When things are kind of going haywire and our natural inclination is just to white knuckle it? He says, no. It's when things are mostly out of control that this is your invitation to just dive in. Submit yourself to God, and he will do what only he can do. This is the second word that we are called to do. We are to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Again, isn't that counterintuitive? If we want to be lifted up, don't we think that we should lift ourselves up? Isn't that how we are kind of raised? Isn't that the world we live in? But when it comes to our spiritual life, what we are invited to is to come to him humbly so that he can put us in those places. Maybe that situation that is out of control so that in it, your trust of him can be seen as a testimony to those who are watching you. Maybe it's not because the world needs to think of you as the person, the one person who has it all under control. Maybe the world is looking for an answer when their life feels out of control as well. And as we allow God to show himself good in the midst of our being out of control, God can do something that we could have never dreamed. Through these verses, we are invited to submit to him. And again, submitting is hard. Being humble before him is hard. They kind of go hand in hand. But that is what we are invited to. To how do we begin to order our life that shows God more of our humility and our willingness to listen to him. Maybe more of our willingness to listen more to others instead of criticizing so quickly. You know, maybe it comes down to being able to pray more and take that step moment by moment. When I feel like I've got to retain control, I'm going to actually let it go. I'm going to find ways to make my day ordered so that I pray more in that day and bring God's presence more into me. I'm going to learn to be more caring and loving of others rather than so quick to judge and quick to criticize. Maybe this submitting myself means I'm going to learn to give up that first chair, to not so hard clamor for that top spot, but allow God to have his way in me in a way that gives him that glory that it really is only belonging to him. Again, submitting to him, being humble before him, what it requires is trust of saying, God is good. Who said that? Someone back here. God is good. Right, Devin? All the time. And all the time, God is good. And if we really believe that fully and completely, we would be able to trust all the more. And if we really are able to do that completely, then we're going to be able to submit all the more and not have to be in control. And if we really do that all the completely, then we will be operating in a way that is humble because we are following his lead, not having to push our agenda as we move forward. But it roots back in this idea of, can I trust him? So today as we wrap up, the wrap up is going to be this. We're going to take a moment to invite you to come and receive Holy Communion today. This is going to be an invitation to come to be reminded of God's goodness for you. The body of Christ broken, the blood of Christ poured out. These are gifts to you to remind you of how not only how good God is all the time, but how thoroughly you can trust him. So as we come and receive today, as we dip the bread into the cup, as we receive it for ourselves, I'm going to ask you to come and just in your heart of hearts, just to be able to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Help me trust you more as we move into this week. So, Father, I thank you for the morning that you've given us and the blessing of being together, of encouraging each other, of sitting together, of standing together, of worshiping together, praying together. God, for the ability of trusting you together, of coming to you to find our marching orders for this coming week. Father, we confess our need for you. We confess our tendencies to be independent and want to go alone. We confess our desire to be number one, that selfish part of each of us that tends to want what we want and get frustrated, hurt, angry when we don't get it. But Lord, in the midst of the confusion and the conflicts around us, God, I pray you'd help us to rest in you, to humble ourselves, to allow you to do the lifting. Help each and every one of us this week as we allow you to do the lifting and you to receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.